Good day, listening public. Today is February 22nd, 2021, and thank you for listening to General Disclosure, the podcast from SAM. My name is Dan Silverman, and I'm joined, as always, by co-host Cheryl Dowd. Cheryl, is your walkie-talkie tuned to the correct channel today?
Absolutely. Good to be here and good to have our guest for today.
Yes, today we're joined by Nancy Spector, Director of Regulatory Innovations at the National Council of State Boards of Nursing. Nancy, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So I'm going to start you off, Nancy, with a couple of questions that we ask all of our guests. And this first question is, defining your career or your current role, however you choose, why do you do this? You're clearly someone with talents and interests of many. Why this?
Well, that is a great question. I came from academia. I was a tenured faculty member, gave up tenure to try this position at NCSBN because it was on a national level. And I was really interested in nursing nationally, especially nursing education and what's going on with the boards of nursing and how they regulate education. So I reluctantly left my teaching job because I did have tenure and came here, and I was told by all my mentors, well, you can always go back to teaching, but I loved it. I really love being kind of in the know of what's going on education-wise all over the U.S. because our boards of nursing approve all of the nursing programs, so they really have a pulse on what's going on. So that's why.
What was your academic focus?
What was my academic what?
Focus.
Focus? Well, I taught what we call in nursing, medical surgical nursing. As part of that, I taught critical care, but I also taught geriatrics. I also, however, taught in the graduate program. And, you know, in academia, sometimes you have to teach where you're needed. I taught research. I taught pharmacology. So really a pretty general background in teaching in nursing education.
So if nursing as a field were to go away, vanish, what would you do instead?
Oh, that really is a good question. I would probably go into, when I started in my pre-licensure education program, I was in dramatics and I really enjoyed that, but kind of got detoured because in order to really get good grades, you had to be in a lot of different places. I was at the University of Wisconsin at the time, so it was big. There were a lot of opportunities. And so I looked outside of that and went into nursing. Before that, I actually had also considered medicine and I had considered law. So, you know, all of those areas would still be very appealing to me. I don't know if I'd do as well, though, in acting. I just love it.
Well, that's already just a great teaser for our final segment of Cheryl on Musicals. I'm looking forward to hearing some of your takes as well. I'm going to read a very short quote from the 2018 paper about board nursing approval for RN education programs that you wrote, and ask you just a brief follow-up. Mm-hmm. When a program wants to try an innovative educational strategy that is outside the BON's rules, many BONs exercise the NCSBN model rules on innovative approaches, which allow a program to pilot and test the strategy. If the program presents data to the BON demonstrating effective outcomes with no unintended consequences, it is likely that the BON will allow the program to continue with the strategy. Can you talk a little bit more about this or maybe provide an example?
Sure. Well, you know, we started this, it was back in 2010 or something, when we had nursing programs that were encouraged to do innovations, to, you know, come to the board and say, you know, we just absolutely would love to be innovative, but we can't because the board it doesn't allow it, their barriers. So this, our board brought it to us as a committee. We had a committee of our peers come together to look at it. And the first thing we did was a survey to see in fact, our boards of nursing barriers to innovation. And we found that almost everything that the faculty wanted to do really would be allowed by the Board of Nursing. So we do have on our website some tips for faculty who want to be innovative. And the first thing is go to your Board of Nursing and see if that's allowed, because it usually is. However, there were some situations where things were barriers. So we did develop some model rules, and this is model administrative law language that the boards of nursing can use. And I think about, they can use them if they wish. I think about half of them adopted some form of them. And this would allow, if you're really doing something outside of the Board of Nursing rules, just collect data on it. So that, you know, has been in effect until now. But, you know, our model rules are going to be voted on again in August. And we have found that most of the boards have incorporated everything now. Programs seem to know about going to the Board of Nursing. And I think actually that section might be removed from the model rules in August, depending on how our members vote on it.
Do you know anything about other professions that have similar structures for their regulatory oversight, something that you'd like to borrow?
You know, in terms of being having Board of Nursing approval, is that what you mean? In the U.S., the model for licensing nurses is that the student must graduate from a Board of Nursing approved program in order to be made eligible for the NCLEX. And when they do that, the boards of nursing are asking that dean and director, are these students competent to practice with patients? Because we do have an NCLEX, which measures knowledge, but that competence and working with practice has to be, you know, evaluated in a different way. So that's the way we in nursing evaluate it. We have a lot of nursing. We have 4 million nurses. So to do simulation with every graduate is just would be out of our scope. I think medicine does that, but this is our way. That dean and director then attest to the fact that their graduates are competent for entry level nursing. And that's why we have approval in, I think it's probably the only healthcare field in the US and probably across the world. You know, I don't think many other countries do this as well in nursing, but it has served us well because students, you know, sometimes can get through a program, pass, and it has to be that dean at the very end that decides if that student is really ready to practice entry-level nursing. So it's really a public protection, I'd say, in nursing.
Sometimes our members seek additional clarification on the difference, both in nursing and in other professions, between pre- and post-licensure regulatory schemes. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Can you ask the question a little bit differently? I'm not quite sure what you mean, pre- and post-regulatory schemes?
Pre- and post, so like RN would be mm-hmm. the initial license
right.
practice mm-hmm. versus
APRN?
Midwifery. Yes.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. Well, in so for APRNs or advanced practice nursing professions, they about half of the boards of nursing approve the nursing programs, not all of them, whereas in pre-licensure, they all do, or in one state, it is done by if they require all the programs to be accredited, and that would be Utah. But in APRNs, that is not the case. However, all of those programs need to be accredited. In pre-licensure programs, it depends on the state. Some require accreditation, like Utah, but not all states require accreditation. So that is different there. But even given that, the states, about 50% of the states do approve the APRN programs. And I can tell you, it really has helped in some situations that have happened in APRN education.
Another resource, and then Cheryl, feel free to jump in anytime, but another resource that our listeners should check out is the Board of Nursing Professional Licensure Compilation on the NCSBN website. So I guess I just wanted to first point that out and thank you for all the hard work that went into that. And then I just had a question for, the question I had was, do you have any suggestions for other professions, other boards, Association of State Boards looking to make similar resources?
Well, you know, I think it's really helpful. It did take us a lot of time. We did it in-house, so we didn't have to hire anybody. But basically what we did is go to all of the Board of Nursing websites looking at their regulations and then what they required, and then put that together on this website. But it was really important to us that we verified what we found, because sometimes you might interpret something differently than the board does. So we verified everything with each Board of Nursing. And because of that, it did take us a while, but I would really say that in the end, it's so worth it to any other professions out there, because once you do it, it's done for the most part. We will update it yearly, and that'll be coming up in July, but you know, not too many regulations are changed. And it's been so helpful for the nursing programs. Basically what they do, go there, pull down the states one by one, they see what the requirements are. They know the program so much better than the Board of Nursing. They know what they have in their programs. And so they know if they meet those requirements. So as the US Department of Education says, they determine if they meet those requirements or not. I would say, if they have somebody sit down and do it in an afternoon, they could certainly do it in an afternoon. It could possibly take the program a day, but no longer than a day to do that. And otherwise, we were hearing from programs that they were going hither, thither, and trying to email each Board of Nursing, and the Board of Nursing doesn't know anything about their program, so they couldn't answer them. And they were having a terrible amount of time trying to do this. So I would really encourage other professions to do this. And, you know, anybody that wanted to could reach out to me and, you know, we could help with that.
Cheryl, do you have any follow-ups for Nancy at this point?
Well, I just, you know, I can't say enough about how much we appreciate the work that went into bringing that together on the National Association site. We know, you know, it was a concern that states not get too inundated with communications from institutions, because that's just such a difficult thing for them to manage. Do you have any suggestions for us? As you know, we recognize the need to, we've been reaching out to national associations, and actually, as I've shared with you, Nancy, we've used your website as a model for other national associations. Is there anything that we can suggest? We know that state websites, you know, they have a role of, you know, the state boards, you know, they need to protect the public. And I understand that. And, you know, and I know that, you know, they're also reaching out to candidates. Is there something that we can do to inform state boards, not just nursing, anywhere, any profession, about how to communicate with educators, maybe from their website, you know, maybe have something that's kind of educator focus for post-secondary institutions to be able to reach on their websites? Because right now that doesn't seem to be like one of the voices that they're reaching to. Do you have any thoughts?
Well, what we did, and because boards of nursing are so connected with the programs because they approve them, they're very close to the educators. So what we did is send out communication to the boards of nursing, and they shared it with their educators. And many times they go to deans and directors meetings and they shared it outright with them. So that was the way we were able to share with our educators. I don't know if other professions have that ability to do that. I will say that going to each of the websites can, you know, be really hard for the programs. So I just think that communication with the educators, whatever they have in, you know, the kind of partnerships or whatever that they have, deans and directors meetings, whatever they do, I think that's probably the best way, because we were told from the boards of nursing that deans were very interested in this and got up and, you know, really wanted, they actually would do a webinar with it and show the website, and they were very interested. So I don't know, you know, the kind of opportunities these other fields have, but that seems to be the best way, that almost face-to-face communication with them, if it's possible, or, you know, email blast or something like that.
Well, that makes sense. So as I hear you saying, you know, this is a one-stop shop, if you will, because they can hit most states with very good information there, and you plan to update it annually, which is fantastic. You know, if we did have more professions that were able to do that, that would be great. Yeah, the alternative is if states, you know, had a section of their website that was educator focused. But, you know, this is, I'm hearing all different alternatives. There was one, this may even surprise you, Nancy. There is one national association for this profession that is willing to do this on a fee-based consultant situation where the institution for a fee can reach out to the national association where they'll act as a consultant. So they must have like an incredibly large staff to be able to do that. So this is not even, you know, something that can be a consideration from some professions, but I just thought that was an interesting take on it. But I, you know, I think your take on it does give, as I said, a one-stop shop to be able to hit these states, you know, in a quick fashion to reach the different pieces that they need. So I we're very grateful that you all went to this work to make this available.
Well, and I think your idea of having a place on the website is absolutely probably essential. And that's exactly what we did. I mean, it's under our education tab on our website. And I think that does help. And, you know, of course, where our link is, we also have a lot of other resources for them, including they can click and even read the regulation. So that is also important. You're right.
It's good. It's a great model. And I hope that others will take the time to look at it, because some of them, they think they have something, but it's not nearly as dynamic as what you have.
So Nancy, is there anything else that we've missed or that you'd want to get out there to the public, to our members? Anything else I should have asked?
Well, not that I can think of, except just telling them that please feel free to contact me, nspector@ncsbn.org, and I'd be happy to help in any way I could.
That's great. Thank you so much. And we'll put a link to those two resources I spoke about earlier up on the show notes as well. So hopefully anyone who's interested will know where to go. I'm going to go ahead and skip the second segment out of left field. It's just... I think our limited time will be better served and more entertaining if we switch right over to Cheryl on musicals. Nancy, I hope you'll stick around. Cheryl, we had a little teaser at the end of last show for our diehard cousins and so forth who listened to this. You mentioned that your daughter Cecily is going to be appearing in Urinetown, Town, but you had you'd have more to say about it this time.
Well, I'm actually really interested to hear more about what Nancy has to share too about her acting past. But I just to let you know, Urinetown, it's a satire. It's very funny. And it specifically, it satirizes a legal system where they are regulating the use of, they have a water shortage. So they're regulating the use of urinals. And so, and toilets, public toilets. Mm-hmm. And so it's pretty funny. It was on Broadway 10, 15 years ago. And so it's a production that is seen at colleges and high schools. I first saw it at a high school production. I'm interested to see what the college production does. Cecily will play a character named Hope. So Nancy, what, tell us about things that you have. What's your favorite role that you ever did in a production?
Well, you know, I don't know that it's a role, but one of the favorite things that happened, it happened in the fall. It was a beautiful day and our class went outside. And what our professor wanted us to do is pretend that we're talking in a foreign language. And of course, you know, I had never done anything like that before. And everybody started speaking in the foreign language. And what we figured out, and he had, you know, predicted this, obviously, if you just go out and speak in a foreign language, for some reason, it's always something that sounds Chinese. So that was very interesting to me. And it was interesting to hear everybody, but it was a lot of ching, ching,
ching. Oh my goodness.
You know, it was really interesting. And I think acting really serves people well wherever they go in life, because if you do presentations or whatever, you always kind of remember that the presence, you know, how you're presenting yourself. So it was a great background, but probably I don't have the talent to have gone further into it.
Have you, Nancy, remained a theater fan? Is there things that you still like to see or
yeah? Oh yeah, definitely. Love theater, and of course my husband and I are terribly into Gilbert and Sullivan. And we were last March, we were so excited to see Pirates of Penzance at the University of Chicago. And of course that was March, so it was canceled. And this March is canceled as well. So we're very sad. We haven't seen Gilbert and Sullivan in a year now, but love that. My husband got me into that, and just so funny. If you know, can just even read all of the words before you go, because sometimes you can't hear everything. It's just hilarious. Gilbert and Sullivan made a great team.
Fantastic.
Well, I think that is as good a place as any to leave it. I guess, actually, I'll ask one follow-up on that, Nancy. If there's one Gilbert and Sullivan to start with for the skeptic, where would you start?
Well, I would probably start with Pirates of Penzance, just because it is just hilarious. And especially at the very end when, you know, the wife is never really the wife, and oh, it's just my favorite one. And all those pirate ships and it's just so hilarious. So there was one, and my husband would know which one it is, that was a little dark, and we hadn't anticipated that. We'd never seen it. And when we went, it didn't strike us like all of the other ones are, but love them all, really. My husband loves Gondoliers. We oftentimes listen to the CDs in our car, so.
That's great. Well, thank you so much, Nancy. This is a lot of great information about musicals, about nursing, about regulation. So we really appreciate it. Thank you. And thank you, as always, Cheryl.
Thank you, Dan. I always appreciate the way you host this. This is always great. Thanks. Great. And Nancy, so happy to have you with us today.
Well, thank you. It was great to be here.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. Bye-bye.